This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
503 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday evening. I am looking at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, any chance we can get Alan Dershowitz back on your show? He's firing up about the Democrats not picking Josh Shapiro. Yes, in fact, Jerm, you need to be on standby. I know tomorrow is slam-packed because I'm out on Friday, but I'm trying to get that all set up as we speak. So, yes, Professor Dershowitz will be back with us soon. I can't tell you exactly when, but absolutely will be back with us soon. Jeff, your friend John is going to be mad when Snoop and Dr. Dre are carrying the Olympic torch through Long Beach to the L.A. Games. Yeah, maybe. John is apparently upset about Snoop. I don't care about Snoop. You know, it's one of these weird things. And I'm always entertained by it. I really am. Because John and I work together and we like each other. We legitimately like each other. We're legitimately friends. Everybody thinks, well, you know, everybody, you agree on everything. It's like, eh, not really. There are certain things that John cares about that if you were to hold a long pointed stick to my eye, I couldn't possibly care about. And the Olympics are like three of those things. And I know John loves the Olympics. John has gone and actually purchased some of these Olympic torches. And let me tell you something. When someone like me, who's got a whole bunch of crap, says, boy, that's crazy to buy that. You know, it's kind of crazy. I do have some good news. Gosh, do we not need good news? We need some great news. Let me tell you something. 2021. Way back when, 2021, I won the title of the father figure, it's like the father of the year, for the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. And part of the reason I got it, oh, in addition to being an unbelievably good dad, just ask my kids, because I raised the most money for the Fatherhood Foundation. Well, I don't want to let the cat totally out of the bag, but, you know, for 3 years now, I have been begging one of these guys, one of these slackers in the new funding father classes. We've had, what, three of them, and they haven't been able to beat my record. I think this is the year. Oh, I'm so excited. Well, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. So I will gladly give up that record if one of the guys this year is able to make it. I'll be so happy. I'm going to try and get, by the way, to the big event at the Diamond. That's the 17th. Tickets are available, I will tell you that, vadad.org. You can go there, get the tickets. Such a great time, so much fun. Parney and Blaine and the whole team over there at the Flying Squirrels do so much good for this community, and helping out the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia is one of those things. So you can go to vadad.org and see if their tickets are going to work for you. And I'm hoping, boy, if the guy this year can win that record, oh, I'll be stoked. But you know what's going to happen next? I can just feel it already. Beach, Chris Beach, the executive director over there, you know what he's going to do, right? He is going to put together, I guarantee it, like a like an all-star team and have us compete. We'll see. All right. Good text here, and I think this is an important one. 833-804-1140 comes in from Tobias. Jeff, I am a black man, and as such, I am expected to vote Democrat. So when I speak policy, all my black friends hate the policy. And then I tell them, well, That's Kamala Harris's policy. Tobias, we're in a similar situation because the Jewish community overwhelmingly votes Democrat. It's a bizarre situation. I think a lot of it really does come from folks who have replaced religion with this secular, humanistic, left-wing stuff. And it's a difficult situation to be in. I have dear friends who are Jewish, dear friends who are Latino, dear friends who are Asian, dear friends who are Black. And you know what? We're all saying the same things about this stuff. I mean, I've got great friends. Well, heck, I mean, talk about John Reed, right? John Reed happens to be gay. There you go. I hope I didn't, surprise anybody there, but he's gay. And he's a very conservative man. But he happens to be gay. How do you think he gets treated at events? How do those of us who are Jews who happen to be conservative, myself or Mark Levin or Ben Shapiro, how about great men and women with amazing minds who happen to be Black? Kamala Harris has gotten all this love. At the same time, Clarence Thomas, who is the smartest guy in D.C., has been dragged through the mud for 30 freaking years. And these people who attack him and insult him and demean him, they couldn't carry the man's jockstrap. I want to be as positive as I possibly can. This is one of those areas I feel that as long as I'm sitting here and Rush is gone, there's got to be somebody, just like Rush, who's going to point to the positive. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I don't think Rush ever sugarcoated anything. I'm telling you the truth about who these folks are. I am telling you the truth about Kamala Harris. I am telling you the truth about Tim Walz. And I am telling you the truth about the unbelievable danger they pose to this nation. But I also want us to have some positive feelings. There's no way to live in this world and simply be mired in the muck like this. I think they're great people doing great work. I'll tell you that right now. And I guess as long as I'm bragging about my buddy John, the Virginia Council, that's John's organization. He started it. I don't know. I think his title is executive director. I'm not entirely sure. It doesn't matter. But John's done great work with the Virginia Council. If you're not on their email list, by the way, you really should be. John is fighting for these very fundamental values and beliefs. And while it is painful to look at some of this stuff, it's ugly to see some of this stuff, it's also a kernel of positivity there that says, okay, well, we know what the goal is. We know what we need to do. We knew what we have to do to bring people back. Let me share with you a couple of little snippets here. One of them is about military service. If you served in the military, we thank you. Right? Don't we do that all the time? Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. How about if you lie about your service? There is nothing that is more despicable and underhanded than lying about your military service. Guess what? Tim Walz is guilty of stolen valor. This is Ohio Senator and United States Marine Corps veteran J.D. Vance addressing that issue. Cut number one.
Last night, Governor Walz suggested that because of your Ivy League education and your Silicon backing your political career, that you yourself are part of the elite. What are your first impressions of them trying to frame you this way to the American public?
Well, look, I came from a family where nobody in my family had ever gone to law school. I grew up in a poor family. The fact that Tim Walz wants to turn it into a bad thing, that I actually worked myself through college, through law school, and made something myself, to me, that's the American dream. And if Tim Walz wants to insult it, I think that's frankly pretty bizarre. Now, look, what really bothers me about Tim Walz, it's not even the positions that he's taken, though certainly he has been a far left radical. You know what really bothers me about Tim Walz as a Marine who served his country in uniform? When the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the Army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out right before you actually have to go. I also think it's dishonest. Something, again, if you guys ever get an opportunity to ask Tim Walz or Kamala Harris some questions, he made this interesting comment that the Kamala Harris campaign put out there, and I bet they're regretting they put it out there now, because he said that we, and he was making a point about gun control, he said we shouldn't allow weapons that I used in war to be on America's streets. Well, I wonder, Tim Walz, when were you ever in war? When was this, what was this weapon that you carried into war, given that you abandoned your unit right before they went to Iraq and he has not spent a day in a combat zone? What bothers me about Tim Walz is the stolen valor garbage. Do not pretend to be something that you're not. And if he wants to criticize me for getting an Ivy League education, I'm proud of the fact that my mamaw supported me, that I was able to make something of myself. I'd be ashamed if I was him and I lied about my military service like he did.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Now, are we going to hear any of the legacy news media folks talk about that? Well, given that the vast majority of the self-proclaimed real reporters and serious journalists have never actually served in any way, in any capacity, in the military or anything else in public service, probably not. They don't see it as a big deal. Remember, if you serve in the military, you're part of this crowd that is weird. If you work as a police officer or a firefighter or an EMT, guess what? They think you're weird. You're married? You're weird. You love your wife? Or you love your husband? You're weird. What's that? You're not cheating on your spouse? You're weird. You are putting things aside because you're trying to do the right things for your kids? Well, that's weird. Let me tell you something. That defines my life. I have friends who do a lot of things. A lot of travel or adventure or this or that. And they spend a lot of money. Heidi and I don't do that. People who are out to dinner every single day of the week, we don't do that. I was actually having this conversation, believe it or not, with one of my dear friends and the world's best doctor, Dr. Bob Quarles, Threshold Medical in Midlothian. Bob used to be the medical director for the World Wrestling Federation for many, many years. But Bob and I were talking about this. What sort of sacrifices do you make for your kids? Well, if you're a good mom, you're a good dad, guess what? You sacrifice damn near everything for your kids because you now have an obligation to them. I believe that we have a solemn, holy obligation to those children. I made a deal with my boys. I said, look, guys, Dad's not rich. Dad's done okay. And Dad saved some of his money. And Dad's going to take care of Mom and Julia and all that stuff. You know, I'm not working until I'm 80 or any of that nonsense. But we're not rich. You want to go to Stanford? That's great. I can't stroke a check every year for $80,000. Can't do it. But here's what I will do. You will apply for every scholarship, every piece of aid that you can get. I don't know how much that is. But you do that, and you have to have a job. And what's left? I'm your backstop. You are not going to take out student loans. That was the deal I made with those boys. I promised each of them, you're not going to take out student loans. You will graduate with your undergraduate degree, with your bachelor's degree, and you will not owe anything in loans. Now, after that, it's on you, dude. But that's the deal. And guess what? That's a sacrifice that Heidi and I have to make, because that money, it's not cheap, even though, you know, people are getting help and they're working and the rest of it, scholarships, still not cheap. We could be completely and totally selfish and say, oh, no, we're going on 8 cruises next week. Can't do it. That's what we as parents do. We make sacrifices for our children. We delay our own gratification. And there are some people who think that's weird. Okay, well then I gladly wear the mantle of weird. Speaking of weird, what a terrible segue. But my friend Mike Dickinson is going to be here at 5:33. You know, Wednesdays at 5:33, Mike Dickinson, who does an amazing job, citizen journalist, citizen reporter, Mike's going to be here. He's got a lot to talk about. I swear to you, he's not that weird. 5:16, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:24, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Mike Dickinson's going to be along in a couple of moments, our erstwhile citizen journalist. I want you to take a listen. This is a media montage. They are trying to paint this Tim Walz, who is a far left-wing radical extremist, as a moderate. I guess they don't talk about cutting genitals off of children, right? That doesn't come up in conversation, or putting tampons in the boys' bathrooms, or letting the city of Minneapolis burn. Probably doesn't come up in the moderate thing. Cut number two.
The idea that Tim Walz is some lefty is just not true in reality. He got elected in a district that was very moderate.
Walz, of course, was very moderate in Congress.
Establishing himself as a moderate Democrat.
He had a pretty moderate record, rather moderate Democrat, viewed as a moderate Democrat.
He is a centrist. To say that he's more liberal than Vice President Harris or the most liberal congressman, which I'm sure we're going to hear, just not true.
In Congress, he was certainly a centrist, but a more centrist deal-making candidate.
Kind of a centrist Midwesterner in persona.
A more centrist type who can appeal to suburban voters.
We have heard from Democrats who know him, who describe him as folksy, as somebody who can reach out to independents.
He will be able to pull over some of those more moderate voters.
He has a history of appealing to the more rural, moderate voter out there.
Moderates, even moderate Republicans.
Absolutely more moderate than people are giving him credit for right now. I would like someone to point out a place that he is different on an issue than Josh Shapiro.
Well, how about that big issue, the issue that got him selected? He's not a Jew. That's why Josh Shapiro did not get that nomination, that appointment, that selection. You know it and I know it. And make no mistake, the legacy news media hacks doing what they do best, carrying water.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
For the uber leftists. So the job is ours. We need to tell the truth about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Okay, I accept that assignment. I'm up for that. Why? Well, because I'd kind of sort of like to help save America. In fact, I'd kind of sort of like to, you know, help make America great again. Mike Dickinson will join us at 5:33 tomorrow morning, 12 and a half hours from now. My buddy John Reed is going to be here. Please make sure you're here for him. It is 5:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and you know what happens on Wednesday at 5:33. We got our buddy Mike Dickinson, who is with us, and he is our citizen reporter. There's nobody better, and he's following stories that I got to tell you nobody else is looking at, and that's a bad thing, and Jason, I don't even want to say his name, the superintendent of schools for Richmond Public Schools, who can't figure out how to actually educate kids or rebuild schools or get supplies in the classrooms. He's all excited because Tiny Tim Kaine and the other one have said there's going to be $15 million extra dollars for RPS. Makes you wonder how Mr. Cameras is going to squander that. Anywho, Mike is with us. Mike, thanks for being here, man.
Anytime for you.
Okay, well, I appreciate you being here. Tell me exactly what is going on at RPS and why did the superintendent find himself just, you know, so doggone excited?
So apparently there's some grant program going around the whole country to school systems for green, to make the green initiative, green energy, green initiatives and things like that. And Jason Kamras is very happy. He's going to get $15 million of it. Mark Warner and Tim Kaine made a great big deal. They have secured $15 million to go to Richmond Public Schools for training on green energy, green climate change, and green jobs. So I don't know how. I mean, so we should be outraged about this $15 million of taxpayer money going to waste. I mean, it's going to Richmond Public Schools. Jason Kamras can't run an ice cream stand, much less manage a school. I mean, if you look at Jason Kamras's time as Richmond school superintendent, the amount of money that he has lost and is not accountable for and has lost and just, you know, he had a school burn down. He can't control. He doesn't know how to budget bus drivers. I mean, you've got bus drivers making $50,000 in overtime. You've got $1 million of lost laptops. Right. And you've got this guy, Jason Kamras, just, oh, I want to lead with love. I don't, you know, he has no idea what he's doing. So giving him $15 million to spend should be criminal. I don't know what they're thinking, giving him, putting him in charge of anything other than dumping the trash.
Yeah, well, you know what, Mike? I don't know that I would trust him to do that. I really don't. I mean, he's got nothing but time sitting there in the Edge shed. I guess he's busy, like, updating LinkedIn and Indeed and stuff, because once his main benefactor, his bestest buddy, LeVar Stoney, is out of office, I mean, I don't know what the good Mr. Kamras winds up doing, but, man, he's probably going to look for another one of these gigs where he can bring in the smoke and the mirrors and the dogs and the ponies and fool everybody for a couple of years.
It's funny because in a lot of these mayoral forums for the next mayor of Richmond, they're all far left Democrats. Richmond's not going to get any better in that regard. But they've all agreed that they need to have a clean break from the LeVar Stoney administration. And they plan on getting rid of pretty much all of Stoney's people, which means hopefully after December, Jason Kamras will be booted out and going doing something that he's more qualified for, like counting baseballs at a Little League field. That's about all he's qualified for.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. What are you taking from these mayoral debates? They really do seem to be pushing themselves to be even further left-wing nutty than the person who talks before them.
Yeah, they've all taken a page from the National Democrat Committee and seeing who can out-left the other out-left. I mean, you've got Harrison Rode. He wants to make abortion the key. He wants to make a national issue, a Richmond issue, and he's Mr. Abortion. Abortion up until the day of birth. He thinks that abortion is perfectly legal, and you can kill the baby up until the day it's born. And then you've got, Addison, Andreas Addison, and he is Mr. You know, let's spend money on green initiatives. I've been on city council for 8 years, and all I've done is spend a bunch of money. I haven't actually done anything, and I haven't actually stood up for the people, but I'm good at spending money and not being accountable. That's Andreas Addison. And then you've got Dr. Danny Avila. He was Ralph Northam's point man during the COVID scandemic, and he believes that the government has, I mean, we should be scared to death of him, because he believes that the government has the fundamental right to shut down your business if they declare it to be a public emergency. As we saw in 2020, public emergency is very vague in the proof that's required to prove that something is a public emergency. It's pretty much just, oh, we've got, you know, a quack doctor that says this, and everyone has to wear a mask, everyone has to be vaccinated, and everything. So we've got that cast of clowns running for mayor.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know how you save the city when you've got this collection of people who seemingly are determined to make it even worse. It's just an awful situation to be in.
Well, you wonder where some of the people, the conservatives, are that could have run for mayor, and some of the organizing was, because, you know, they didn't put up a candidate. So All the conservatives that live in Richmond, the Richmond GOP committee, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
They're ineffective. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have candidates in. So it's, I guess the complaint is, it's hard to say that we should be doing something different when the conservative leadership in Richmond mm-hmm. doesn't do anything other than have subs and eat at Publix.
Jeez. It's just craziness. It's absolute craziness. Give me a sense of some of the other stuff that is going on, because, Mike, I'm looking at a few things I know that you have been covering, and I'm trying to think of the one that's probably the best, but you got a lot of stuff coming out, actually, about Minnesota. You two have been looking into this Tim Walz, and it's the wife of a former Minnesota Vikings player who talked about how that guy ran Minneapolis into the ground.
It's ridiculous. Minneapolis used to be a vibrant Midwest city.
Yeah.
It used to be a college town. It was a very nice town, and this guy, Walz, has just destroyed it. I mean, between the public education system teaching kids to be anti-police up there, so there's a riot every day, between the infusion of illegal immigration, very much spearheaded by Ilhan Omar,
yep.
and just this general attitude up there, they changed the state flag to almost resemble that of Somalia.
Mm.
I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on in Minnesota. And I mean, can you imagine if they changed the Virginia state flag to be that of to look like another country? It would be ridiculous. But that's what they did in Minnesota this year. And so, it's sad that Walz is no good. And hopefully we'll get him talking and we can expose his far left positions. Right now, the legacy media is still, they're still praising Kamala Harris and him, and they're the next great thing, and not being critical of them anymore.
Yeah. Mike Dickinson is joining us, and I want to remind you, Mike does some great citizen style reporting, a lot like Andy Ngo. That's how I always look at Mike these days. Mike, you are celebrating a rather dubious anniversary, right? A year ago, you were looking. Okay, tell everybody what the 1 year mark is that we are observing today.
Well, so it's interesting that all the Democrats today are outraged about Glenn Youngkin appointing somebody. That he's been appointed to the Board of Visitors at George Mason, and he has some loose affiliation with Project 2025. And they're all outraged. LeVar Stoney's crying about it on X, and so was everybody else. But they've said nothing about last year at this time. There was Susanna Gibson was going online every single day at the poster timestamped, making sex videos, posting them online, soliciting tips, and then running over campaigning with Shannon Taylor, the Commonwealth Attorney of Henrico County, big Virginia Democrat running for Attorney General, hanging out with Abigail Spanberger, U.S. House Representative, running for governor. And they've not apologized or said anything about embracing her, when that is a far more, pretty much disgusting thing that Susanna Gibson was doing. Oh. The Democrats need to realize if they're going to cry and boo-hoo over every time a conservative says something that upsets them, they need to be ready to apologize, too. And not one of them has apologized or disowned Susanna Gibson for all of her video frolicking that she did, possibly illegal behavior when she was talking about some of the stuff she was doing.
That's right.
On the videos.
Mm-hmm. Now, do we have anything at all? Was it the CA in Louisa that was looking into some of this?
So the Commonwealth Attorney in Louisa looked into it, and they said because it is a state board of elections issue, it would go to the Secretary of the Commonwealth, Kelly G.
Okay.
And it's been there on her desk, and I haven't heard – I haven't been able to get an update from her, but it is on her desk. And I think that in Virginia, we need to get some stronger laws when it comes to these elections forms that candidates fill out, because as we saw with – Senator Hashmi, as we saw with Susanna Gibson, it's just there doesn't seem to be any bite to them. It doesn't seem like, you can sign this and say this, and at the end of the day, nobody is accountable for it. There's no, it's a dog with no teeth.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And speaking of that, Shannon Taylor, who is the nominal Commonwealth's attorney in Henrico County, of course she's busy running for attorney general. She certainly should have been looking into a lot of this, right? But did she whiff again?
Yeah, she hasn't done anything with Susanna Gibson, and you know why? That's her. She endorsed her early. They had documented. I mean, Susanna Gibson was at a lot of Shannon Taylor events in the summer of 23.
Yep.
She was so comfortable with Shannon Taylor that, you know, Susanna was making videos during the day last August. Like during the day, she'd be making videos and then going to campaign events for Shannon Taylor at night. And you know as well as I do, if it was a conservative,
yep,
the media would have been front page every single day, and that person would have been all over the local news. But here in Richmond, the national news jumped all over the story, but the local media narrowly said a word. They didn't touch it.
I have to wonder, Mike, how many of the guys, especially at these evening events for Shannon Taylor, were looking at Susanna Gibson going, "Don't I know you?" Right?
You would think so. You would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just... It's just the Democrats want apologies on everything, and they don't apologize. They're not accountable for any of their own behavior. And so Scott and Louise Lucas and LeVar Stoney, they need to stop crying and demanding apologies every time somebody upsets them unless they're ready to be apologizing for their behavior. I mean, Susanna Gibson, everybody who is a parent in Henrico County and the Richmond area should be disgusted by her behavior.
Absolutely.
And then the fact that she tries to play victim, you know, oh, it's an invasion of my privacy.
That's right.
When she put the stuff online herself and solicited money herself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was all about raising funds. Hey, Mike, I want people to follow you. What's the best way for them to do that?
They can follow me over on X, MikeD4RVA. MikeD4RVA on X.
All right. Thank you, my friend. That is Mike Dickinson. MikeD4. It's the number 4. MikeD4RVA over on X. He's doing some great investigative journalism, citizen reporter, lots and lots of good stuff. And it's always good to have him as part of our little lineup here Wednesdays at 5:33. It is 5:45. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. All right, what can I tell you? It's Wednesday. I don't have a huge amount of time, but that's okay. Got great stuff going on. You got the Flying Squirrels tonight. I'm searching through my email as we speak to see if there are tickets there. I don't know. Well, I'll try and figure that out. Should be a great time. You have fun, you go nuts. It's just that simple with the squirrels. Weather-wise, as you know, it has impacted some of the things at the raceway. We'll give you details on that. The races are still on. Everything I see is that the races are still on. And John Bernier from ABC 8, 8 News, was here not too long ago and said it's sort of skirting this whole Tropical Storm Debbie leftover, soggy salad, if you will, is sort of skirting to the left, the west of us. So it's going to be nasty, but it's not necessarily going to be end of the world nasty. Okay, so there you have it. By Friday evening, everything should be pretty good, certainly by Saturday evening, without a doubt. I know we don't have a huge amount of time, but Jeremy has spent so much time getting some great audio, I would be remiss if I did not share this with you. This is the First Lady of Minnesota, Mrs. Walls, who wants you to think you're weird. Cut number 5.
I would say those first days, you know, when there were riots, I could smell the burning tires. And that was a very real thing. And I kept the windows open for as long as I could because I felt like that was such a touchstone of what was happening.
Really? You know those tires belong to other people, right? Did you know those tires were on people's cars? You know, people who went to work and were trying to feed their family. How weird can you be to say, oh, yeah, I totally wanted to smell all the burning tires. I mean, it just it gave me, what, like the warm and fuzzies? You're weird, man. How about cut number 7, the mayor of Minneapolis?
Mayor Jacob Frey has consistently said what he told us on June 2nd.
I will speak the truth. And the truth is that on Wednesday, around 6 p.m., I called the governor and asked for the National Guard.
Text messages and emails from the mayor's office for Wednesday, May 27th back that up.
Huh. Well, you know what didn't come? The National Guard from the governor's office. Make no mistake, these two hate cops. These two are in favor of the state. taking your children. Sorry, got to tell the truth just the way it is. Tomorrow morning, John Reed's going to be here. Please make sure that you are here for John. Deal with the weather, beware the weather, and God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.